Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Role Playing Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host today, and I've got Matt, my co-host, with me today. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
There we go. I'm not sure how many times we've talked to you, Thomas, but we've had you on a bunch of times.
Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, Thomas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. So the reason we brought Thomas back on is to talk about the new Alien Evolved edition, I'm gonna do some other stuff first, but I do want to throw it out there. It's like, why not Alien Perfected? That was just sitting right there. They're perfected. That's it. Then you're done. You know, that's all you need to do.
Yeah. That is a good question. Maybe that would have been a cool option as well. But you never know. You know, when is anything ever perfect? So.
Right. Yeah. Nathan, you got to remember, in 5 years, there's like the really evolved edition. This one's really, really evolved.
Oh, maybe eight. So. Give it an eight.
I think in our perspective, it's this one. I think, with all of the little additions and updates and things that we've made, I think this is as close to perfection as we can make it anyway. You know, Then of course it's up to each and every one to decide that for themselves. But anyway, in our mind, as far as we can, create the game.
I can't wait to get to it. But before we jump into the meat of Alien, I do want to get updates on some other things that Matt and I are backing. So this is a total selfish, we're including our audience in on this, but this is a totally selfish ask. But Coriolis Great Dark, that's kickstarted, and that seems like it's already come along pretty well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there was a slight delay on that. That project is not mine specifically, but I'm, of course, we're a small company, so we're all involved in everything. So, I know the core book is already at the printer, so that's being done. And also things like the GM screen and dice set and all of that. So that's being printed, and the plan now is to start shipping it out. Now the print needs to be completed, and then it needs to be shipped to the fulfillment warehouses across the world, and then out to backers, which will take a couple of months. But the plan is definitely to get it to backers in like maybe June, maybe July, but that's sort of the idea, that in the summer. And then the plan is to have that at Gen Con as like the big Gen Con release. But that does not include the campaign boxed set. That one is still being worked on. They're sitting right outside here at the moment, you know, finishing things.
Go drag them in and tell them, go yell at them. I want to hear you go, get that book.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
So they are doing that. And the idea, so that will be shipped to backers separately a little bit later. So probably like September. Around there, so in a separate shipment, and that's sort of what we're planning to do. We might even coordinate that a little bit with the Alien Kickstarter fulfillment, which will happen around that time. So it's possible that if you back both, you might get the Coriolis boxed set with the Alien stuff. That something like that. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, if you can manage that would be some brilliant logistics.
You have to, there's a lot of factors here to
That's a lot of moving parts.
Been really nice though that you've been sending out the PDF like updates on Coriolis the Great Dark. So anything, I guess, like when certain sections are finished, it goes out. So I get those, I absorb those. It's really cool. Yeah. It kind of feels like, hey, I'm watching this project move, and it's nice to kind of compare it to the rule sets that I'm familiar with. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we have that. First, we had the alpha, and then we had some extra chapters, and then I think a complete beta PDF, which is pretty much the entire core book. And then we did some updates before going to print on that as well. And then the PDF will also be updated to be like the final version as well. pretty soon. But yeah, so that's, we like to do that. It's useful to get the feedback, and it's, I think it's also can be fun as a backer to be part of the process. So it's like a win-win thing.
Yeah. We played, Matt ran us through the quick start for it. And that was super fun. Like the ending of that, with the oxygen, running out.
It did capture the right feel of,
And
spoiler for anyone who hasn't watched it. So I don't know if, so the guy who was the captain of the ship, the main guy, failed on, he was all out of resources, failed a roll against Blight and rolled the 66, the worst possible.
Right at the end,
they were literally like one roll away from escaping at the end, and he literally just and when I was reading it, it's not that you just disappear, you just disappear from existence. So nobody remembered him, and the guy who had the extra player who was like his assistant, everyone thought that was the captain. Yeah. They didn't even know he'd ever been there at all.
The dice really play really well sometimes. So that was that was a great time. Moving on, I backed Vason Mythic Carpathia in City of My Nightmares. So I've been seeing that looks like it's made quite a bit of progress as well. So if you want to give us some updates there for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're actually deep in playtesting the adventures in one of those books right now. We'll wrap that up tomorrow. So that's sort of exciting. So everything is written except for like final tweaks after playtesting and like a little bit like that on both books, as well as the new starter set also. So what the next step there is to just finalize everything and get into, and I think almost all of the art is done. So the next step is layout, and then the same thing like we did with Coriolis, to get like an alpha or beta PDF, at least like some form of preliminary PDF out to backers. And that should happen in the next, couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, around there. So we'll get some feedback on that and then go to print and all of that. And I think we're pretty much on track, if I remember correctly. What was the date? It's a lot of things to keep track of.
I know. It's
I think what we said, September is the estimated delivery, and I think we're on track to keep that.
So September is going to be Free League month.
There is a lot of stuff happening in September.
That's great.
I mean, we're deep in finalizing Alien, and of course, there are still campaigns still going, but we're still already deep into that, and Vazen and Coriolis. There's a lot of stuff going on here right now, just wrapping all of those things up.
And last thing,
Blade Runner too. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to bring up that because Replicant Rebellion. So is that, are you talking about September for that also, or is that?
Possibly, yeah. That one hit a couple of unfortunate delays. So that should have been pretty much out now. It's not clearly. We had the alpha PDF out a couple of weeks back, and now we're finalizing the bits that were not in the alpha, which is basically the operations that you play, like short adventures. There's going to be 5 of them in the book. So those are written, but we're editing and fixing maps and just finalizing those, get that also in a beta PDF version and then to print. So that could potentially show up around that same time as well. So yeah, the fall is going to be pretty busy.
The last thing we're gonna bug you about before we hop into Alien, near and dear to my heart, we just wrapped up recording 50 episodes of the full Dragon Emperor arc and Dragon Bane from the book. I'm going to put up the 29th episode, so I'm about 20 episodes back. So as far as like editing and stuff like that, I'm with you. It's going to take for me for the end of the year to finish all of that.
Right.
So when we talked at Gen Con – You mentioned that you got some other supplements kind of cooking, like a magic mm-hmm. supplement and maybe like an expert rules. How's that stuff looking right now?
Yeah, all of that is brewing in the background for now, but soon we'll have something to announce. Mm. We have the next sort of wave is a book of magic, like you mentioned, but also a campaign module about a city called Arcand. Okay. So that's coming along. I mean, hopefully we'll be able to show something from that. Mm-hmm. Well, probably in May, we should be able to at least start showing some things. And so that's sort of after. Now we're focusing on Alien and the Kickstarter and of course, finishing everything that we already. But after Alien, the Alien Kickstarter is over, then probably we'll switch a little bit to focus a bit on Dragonbane mm-hmm. for a while. So that's sort of the plan.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you need playtesters, I mean.
Nathan would like a supplemental book on cold water and why it kills your entire party. That was the most deadliest thing we encountered in Dragonbane was cold water.
Yeah, it was
yeah, I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. All right, so Alien Evolved Edition. You've got it looks like 10 days left in the Kickstarter. I'm looking at the numbers right here. You've already got the numbers keep going up. 1.797 million dollars in pledges, which is awesome. I mean, are you going to hit $2 million with this? That would be crazy. I mean,
that would be great. Yeah, that would be a first for us. So that we're looking forward to that. Actually, the dollar amount was over 1.8, but then it dropped down not because we lost backers, but because of currency fluctuations.
Mm, okay.
So some people thought that there was some some backers thought, what's going on? Why are we losing? Why are we dropping? But that we didn't lose anything. We didn't lose any backers. It's just currencies. Since that we have to run the campaign in Swedish crown, so that means when the currencies fluctuate, then Kickstarter automatically calculates like the dollar amount, but that can change depending on currency. So it looked like we dropped. We were actually above 1.8, and now we're a bit under, I think. But hopefully we'll reach 2 million before it's all over. But we'll see. That'll be an interesting final little, final week and a bit more to go for the campaign.
Yeah, it's I tell you, our group has since Alien came out, we played more Alien than any other role playing game, more than D&D, more than Dragonbane, even more than anything else. It's we just keep coming back to it. It's such a fun system for our sensibilities. We like, especially me too. I like games that are risky, there are consequences for taking those risks.
Yeah.
So it's been really great. So I thought it was awesome the way it was. What are the big changes that folks? A lot of people probably heard all this already, but if you could just go over some, what do you think are the top changes you've made?
I mean, there's many small changes, I guess, because it's still the same game at its core.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sort of bigger changes, are one is just developing stealth mode more. Mm-hmm. We felt that was there, but it was not really fleshed out all the way. So we felt that it's a bit more robust now, I'd say, because we felt that fell away a bit. Stealth mode didn't really feature that heavily in the adventures that we made, and we felt that was a bit of a shame. So actually, this started when we were working on Rapture Protocol, which is the new cinematic that's also part of the Kickstarter. So we started sort of expanding stealth mode for that adventure, and mm-hmm. that actually eventually led us to thinking maybe we'll just do actually an involvement of the rulebook, because there were also many other things that like smaller things that we wanted to tweak. So that's one thing, yeah.
So staying on that, so like for because I ran a lot of the adventures, I just finished up Heart of Darkness about a month ago, and really the only thing you saw were like when the actual xenomorphs were either like passive or active, and that was really kind of the only indicator in the adventure mm-hmm. that there was like that is I got to think about stealth mode here. So how are you changing that for Rapture Protocol?
Right. I mean, we don't want to create more bookkeeping or more. I mean, we want the game to be easy to run. But if you run stealth mode fully, it's a bit more, you have a bit of a more of a cat and mouse thing going on where you have the player characters moving on the map. And not in combat, but outside of combat, and you actually have NPC or xenomorph movement taking place on the map also behind like a hidden screen if you want to. And that kind of thing where you actually have that hidden movement thing so there's an actual game for the stealth. So, I mean, of course, as GM, you could just throw in something if you want to, but this system sort of allows this to be a bit more... organic, the way actually you have your enemies moving around in this area, and you have to sort of, and how that plays out is a bit more expanded and a bit more detailed than in the first edition.
So you're going to have like a GM map and a player map now. Is that
exactly? That is the idea. Yeah.
That's a good addition. There are times where running Destroyer Worlds and Heart of Darkness, where that would have been super awesome. So that's a
thing. Mm-hmm. Another thing is the smaller things like the stress and panic rules, which we think in general work great, and that's sort of one of the big, you know, features of the game. So, but what could happen sometimes is that because in the first edition there was just one table to roll on, no matter what cost, even if you roll a facehugger on a skill roll, or if you were sort of confronted by like a xenomorph, you still rolled on the same panic table, which sometimes could create some kind of strange results. when performing a skill roll, and then you suddenly go into a wild panic. That could, usually you could kind of work around that and make it part of the story, but it felt like that didn't quite work the way we wanted, so we have split that into two. So now there's like one... You roll on a stress response table if you roll a facehugger for a skill roll. So that's like one table. Then you roll on a panic response table if you're faced by something horrible. So the most sort of panicky results, they are sort of only on the panic table, not on the stress response table. Okay. So that you just split those apart to get the results a bit more in line, I think, with the story, but it's like a minor tweak. It's not a major change.
I think that's actually a good one though, because I know when Tyr ran Arcturian Apocalypse, we'd gotten to where we had enough stress where it's like, okay, who wants to roll this skill? And it's like, well, I don't want to freak out and start shooting the party because I failed my, you know, mechanics roll or whatever, right? My tech roll. So I think that's actually really genius, because it's like, it gives everybody like, I don't want to do anything.
Exactly.
Or you just embrace it and people are going insane doing regular things, right? So I mean, Nathan likes that though. He likes
people, you know,
it can be fun, but it can be a bit too much.
Yeah.
Try to tweak that a little bit. That's sort of
it became kind of comedic at some point. So
exactly. So that's, we don't want to go there. So that's why we toned that down a bit. Another like minor change that's been discussed in the community is like armor rules. Since in the Year Zero system in general, armor is fairly... You roll dice for armor, and that usually works for most games, but that could, for Alien, which has sort of, can have at least a military setting, if you play like Colonial Marines or something like that, then there's a lot of military hardware going on. And the previous armor rules could also create some strange results, where you could basically stab through an armored vehicle if you rolled lucky or something like that, which is fine for some games that are not that focused on hardware. But we felt Alien is actually a game that has a lot of hardware. So now we made those rules a bit more, well, I don't know when I use the word realistic, because that's always a tricky concept. But anyway, you won't get there is a bit more correspondence to what would actually sort of take place. You can't, armor is a bit more important and plays a bigger role, I guess, for if you play that kind of thing, game where you have a lot of hardware.
Like, yeah.
armor vehicles and heavy weaponry and things like that, then armor actually matters. That change won't really influence like more of a low level game like playing like Space Truckers or something, right. Then it won't really make a difference. But if you do play Colonial Marines, then the new armor rules will, I think, feel a bit more in line with what you would expect and the results that make a bit more sense, I guess.
So is it going to become a set number? In the past, it'll be like four, and a four armor will soak four damage.
Exactly. That's the main difference. And we actually have another game. Twilight 2000 already does this, which is, of course, a game with a lot of military hardware. And this is now also in Alien, that it's a set number and a limit, a hard limit. So if your weapon just cannot, penetrate armor if it's at this level or more. So you can't, no lucky roll could sort of make you, stab through an armored vehicle. It just won't work. So it's just, balancing that out a little bit better, I think.
Tiny story. We just had our fourth anniversary of launching our podcast, and we started with a Alien Destroyer Worlds and then Twilight 2000, but we've had a running joke since Running Destroyer Worlds that the APCs are made out of cardboard. So this is like really
the drop ships. They're made of cardboard.
APCs. So it's been a running joke for us for the past 4 years. So you're taking away that joke, but it's going to improve the game. That. So yeah. It's okay.
There is a balance there because it can also be fun in RPGs to have that. Those things can happen because it can lead to fun situations where you can actually do something very unlikely and actually that can actually happen because that can lead to a lot of fun, a fun scene in the game or something.
But
there is a limit where we felt that maybe we need to just tone this down a bit and make this hardware matter a bit more in the game. If you're playing a Colonial Marines game, you probably want that. We also changed the rules for automatic fire and a couple of things like that. So there's like, those are the big ones, but then there are also many smaller changes. We're adding now, that was a stretch goal, a life path character generation, which is kind of fun.
Oh, cool. Fun. Oh, yeah.
So you can get like a backstory for your character rolling on tables and things. So that's sort of cool. And of course we're adding a solo mode and of course then the whole graphic design is actually updated for the whole the entire graphic design, and we liked the old one. I think it was very pretty. It's a great, I think the old book looks great. It's
gorgeous,
still looks great, but it sometimes felt like it was maybe not ideal to read or use at the table because it's more, almost more like a coffee table book. And that sometimes took away from its sort of how useful it was when playing the game or reading the book. So the new one is a bit more, also it goes a bit more towards sort of the retro sci-fi style, which I think is pretty cool. So we're sort of leaning more into that vibe, I guess, just throughout the general aesthetics. So it looks a bit different. We're actually, the new core rulebook, even though there's more content than in the old one, it's not quite, but almost like 100 pages less. Which I think is good because the old one is also very heavy and kind of hard to, it's too big. It was never intended to be that many pages. It just sort of happened during layout and it just kind of grew and too late did we realize that this graphic design that we had chosen it had a lot of air. It was very you got a very high page count, which was not intended. So this time we've kind of tightened things up a bit. So we have the same content, and I think it's even more easy to access it. Mm-hmm. But it's still like a bit over 300 pages instead of close to 400. So.
And Johan Noor did a bunch of the layout and artwork.
He did, yeah. I mean, from Mork Borg, he did the new graphic design. I think he did a fantastic job. He's even got some original art in there as well, because I guess he just felt like doing that. So, and that's looking great. So that's very cool. So there's a bit of a different vibe to it. So it's a nice update on that front as well.
You know,
so yeah. I noticed one big change is the maps. Well, not change, but an addition is the new larger or small. I never get this right. Larger, smaller scale.
Yeah. Miniature
maps,
scale.
But more tactical. Yeah. Miniature scale maps. Because I love the retro design of the maps in the books. But it is, it's as useful as looking at a CRT monitor when you go to like tactical. So it's good for reference. It's great. We do a lot of theater of the mind. So yeah, let us know about it. So you got maps, you got miniatures.
Yeah, I mean that's something that kind of grew out of the new stealth mode, and also just that we felt. I mean, we do enjoy skirmish games, like miniatures games is something that we do for fun. We did Zone Wars for Near Zero, which was a skirmish game. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely an interest in that, and we just felt like something like that would be a lot of fun to do for Alien. And out of that, we also felt that the maps that we had for some of the adventures for the previous editions, like Heart of Darkness, and they're nice maps, but we felt there's like a lot of space that you don't use that much.
Yeah.
So we felt that we wanted to create maps that were a bit more detailed and gave you more to sort of work with, and also would actually work with using miniatures or like tokens. We actually had in the starter set, the old one, there are like character tokens for characters, but they're kind of too big for the maps. They don't really work that well with the maps because the scale is off. And so now we just felt I wanted to sort of create something that actually works fully for stealth mode and for combat, and where you have the tokens working with the maps and allowing the use of miniatures. So we just wanted to create something that did all of that. And that's what we decided on, this new map style. We'll still keep the old map style, the more CRT thing for like overviews and things, because the scale now for the sort of the maps that work with miniatures is so, big scale. I don't know. I keep getting that one. Anyway, you can't have like a huge spaceship or something in that scale, because then the map would be like,
right. I don't know.
It would be the size of a room, so that doesn't work. So it's we'll still need like those overview maps and things that will use the old style. So that's still around, but then we have some specific like key locations where we have these new detailed, more zoomed in maps that work for playing with miniatures. So that's sort of the way we are doing things now.
So follow up on the maps thing. So I mentioned earlier I had just finished running a Heart of Darkness, and one thing I found when running it, there's a lot of different kind of map based conditions, whereas like zero gravity, like radiation, everything's on fire.
Sounds great.
Super fun. Had a blast. But I did have some trouble running, or is it okay? Because they're going, they're moving fast through this whole space station, and they would get ahead of me a little bit sometimes. We want to go in here, and then I'd start to run that room. Then I'd realize, that whole room is on fire. So let's roll that back. So, if there's something on, like you mentioned, there might be like some GM maps that kind of shows you all the areas where there is no gravity and stuff like that. So you kind of prep for that as the players kind of do things that you weren't then expecting them to do. So is that part of the plan, or
take some feedback? Generally, I think in overall, we try to increase sort of the general sort of user friendliness of the game and the adventures that we do, and to think even harder about. I think the adventures that we did had great stories, characters, and a lot of things going on, but they were lacking, we felt, sometimes in how user-friendly they were. Mm-hmm. It was sometimes hard to find the right information, like you mentioned, and you had like events over here, and they were kind of hard to... It was a lot of flipping back and forth, and we just felt that we want to do an even better job at being sort of the of accessibility, user-friendliness, and just how information is presented using maps and text and everything. So that's something we've been working on a lot. So that's sort of, I think, a difference you'll see in Rapture Protocol compared to the previous cinematics, which they worked fine, but it just was a bit harder on the GM, and we want the game to be fun to run for the GM as well. So it's kind of work a bit more with that.
Yeah, and that's great to hear, because I will admit I was going between the vents as far as the axe and also merging that with what was actually presented for the actual rooms that they were going into. Just kind of merging those two. I did some extra prep, kind of writing that out ahead of time, so to minimize the flipping. So it's great to hear you acknowledge that and that you're kind of working towards something that's gonna kind of minimize that flipping back and forth. That's amazing news as a alien mother. So
so given all these new maps, the potential for miniatures and tokens and everything, I got to ask VTT. So what's the plan for VTT support for this? Because there's a lot of
those. We do a lot of it now. We're actually have it in the Kickstarter. I think all of the new things and some of the old stuff as well are available as add-ons. So we're doing Foundry, Roll20, Alchemy, and Demiplane. Demiplane is perhaps not technically a VTT, but it's digital platform where you can still access all of the content. So we're doing all of those. So then that will be. So I think that's part of the development that will be done. But I think with the new maps and things, I think they will work great in a VTT environment since they are. I think that will be easier to use with the tokens and things. I think that will work beautifully in the VTT platform, especially the VTTs that are sort of more map based. And hopefully they will be moody and as well, and give the right vibe if you play more Theater of Mind style. That should work fine as well. But so I do think that in the changes that we're doing overall to the game and the graphic design will carry over to VTT as well. But that work is starting now. Basically, what we do is in for all VTT projects is that basically we finalize the printed book or the book first. So around when it's sent to print, it's done, it's going to print, and that's when the VTT work starts, so that the same content will be in the book as in the VTT. So we don't want to start too early with the VTT work and then have to change a lot of things. So we have some developers ready to go, but they haven't really started working on the alien stuff just yet. But they'll start in a month or so.
I was curious about that too, from just a business. So is it for VTT development? So it is a push environment. Like it's on you to create the module for these different VTTs. They're not coming to you and going, "We want to build." They're not doing the integration. It's still on Free League to build the integration for each one of these platforms.
Actually, it differs a little bit. So the VTTs are different from each other in the way they work. So some VTTs they do like most of the implementation and the work, and we just basically give them access to all of the content, and they basically take it from there. Other VTTs are a bit more technical and require more heavy lifting development-wise, and there we need to find developers who actually do that kind of work. So it's they are a little bit different from each other, and depending on what type of VTT it is and the way they are, how they work. Like Foundry is now they actually think they have their own like marketplace, but otherwise Foundry has always been something that we've been offering Foundry modules in our web shop and so on, but there was no central marketplace, whereas something like Roll20 or Alchemy has the marketplace, and they work in a different way. So the VTTs are a little bit different from each other. So for some, the VTT company does most of the development work, and for others we kind of need to find a developer our own. So it varies from case to case.
That's interesting. So you're are rebooting the starter set also as part of this Kickstarter?
Yeah. Yes. And that's partly of course we're doing updating like graphic design and all that.
Yeah.
That's sort of that we're doing generally. But for the starter set, we felt that even though the first starter set was definitely, you know, a pretty good product, we thought, it was a bit much, a bit heavy. I think the rule book in the starter set is over 100 pages. And that just doesn't, you know, in hindsight, a starter set shouldn't have a 100-page rule book. It's just, that's not really ideal. You should have something shorter so you can actually get it to the table really quickly. And also the adventure there, Chariot of the Gods, which I think is really great, but it's a full-length cinematic.
Yeah.
And we felt that a starter set doesn't really need a full-length cinematic. It's better to have something a bit more bite-sized, a bit smaller in the starter set,
mm-hmm.
And that would also allow us maybe to actually, and we also felt that the starter set should cost a bit less than the previous one did, because that previous one had so much stuff in it that we had to charge almost the same price as for a core rule book, and then that also just didn't feel, that's not ideal for a starter set either. You want a starter set to be something you can, that is fairly inexpensive, so you can, you know, take a chance on it and quickly to get to the table. So that's why the new starter set will be less expensive than the previous one. It'll have a shorter adventure and a shorter rule book.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be a more, work better as a starter set, a better introduction to the game.
Okay.
Because if you want all of, you know, all of the rules and all of that, you have the core rule book for that. So you don't really need that much in the starter set. And also we're updating the adventure. We're using Hope's Last Day. That was actually part of the
core
rule book in the previous edition. But we have updated that, also adding a new map and a new style and things like that. So it's, I think it's going to be, even if you have the old one, I think this one will be a cool addition to the collection and fun to play. And you get, like, of course, extra stuff like dice and things, and a supply dial is something that's also changed, by the way.
I was just I'm looking at the picture of the starter set, and I was just seeing that supply dial for Aaron ammo. So what is that then? Is that a group resource now and not an individual?
Not really. It's the way that thing works. Generally, there were still in the first edition also, there are consumables that you can track, like, but it's like air and power and, things like that. You track these consumables. That's still there, but we tweaked it a little bit, and we also added in ammo, ammunition there, and because we felt that's very much in tune with, well, at least Aliens. Like, you have that scene where the pulse rifles and the smart, the automatic sentry guns, the ammo is counting down, and that's actually so we felt we want that in the game too. So now we actually added ammo rules, so you actually have to keep track of ammunition, and in that will using the consumable, the supply rules.
Okay.
Supply
rule. Wow.
So that's a change.
Nice.
And the idea is, that dial that is included in the starter set, it's not a group because it's simply not possible to track every consumable with a dial, because that would just could get confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the idea is that you'll pull out that dial and use it if there's like some specific consumable that's really important at some specific time.
Okay.
Otherwise you can just, if it's just your own whatever ammunition or something, you can track it on the character sheet, so it doesn't need that dial. The dial is just a way to present that visually in a more sort of that, in a way that everyone at the table can see it, and it's a bit sort of more clear maybe, but it's not used for everything all the time. It's used in like special occasions when there is something, some specific consumable that is extra important in some scene. So that's
very cool. I mean, having, like I said, Nathan, we ran the Coriolis the Great Dark, and we did Death in Space about a couple of years ago. Both times, you know, we had we had meters on the screen. You know, because I wanted everybody to know exactly, you know, what their oxygen supply was, because it's a good pressure. What's a good pressure point? I'm looking at the starter set. Yeah, I think these things are genius. I think more and more folks are doing them now. But what I see when I'm looking at all the stuff that comes in it, you can, if you've never played Aliens before, you could just buy this, unpack it on a game night, and just play. And, yeah. And it, I love that it comes with like the tokens. You've got initiative cards, gear cards, agenda cards, which are kind of cool. I guess I'm assuming agendas are like your secret, you know, what your missions or whatever.
Yeah, like for the Act 1, 2, and 3 kind of.
Yeah, that's something that's still there from the first edition. In the cinematics, you have each character has a personal agenda for each of the three acts in the adventure. So yeah, everyone has their own little agenda. Some innocent enough, others are more traitorous in nature. So you have that possibility to have the traitor in the group. So that's still there. And that's part of that. Usually a lot of fun for it's more like one shot stuff because it's hard to keep, you know, playing. But after that, but for one shots, that can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Hope's Last Day was a great adventure. That's the first thing I ran, and that was like, okay, I was hooked. So that's a good starter.
Is that what we played before we recorded?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what your adventure was. Right.
So Rapture Protocol is a new cinematic. Can you give me a little bit of background on the story and what's kind of going on there? What's the hook?
I mean, for that one, like I sort of mentioned earlier a bit, is that we felt like with the three cinematics that we did previously, Chariot of the Gods and Destroyer Worlds and Heart of Darkness, which are really cool, but the scope gets really big, which can be fun. It's like war between the United Americas versus the UPP, and there's like a lot, and then there's like a lot of stuff going on. It's like big scale, big stuff happening, which is cool, but we felt we needed to dial things down and get to something a bit more small scale and personal, and a bit more like perhaps like I think the original film, but also a bit like Alien Romulus, the newest one. They are focused on like a small group of people in a limited environment. I think that's when the game actually works the best. So that's sort of what we wanted to do with Rapture Protocol, while still keeping that sense of wonder of something bigger out there. But generally, it's about it's hard to describe too much because of
spoilers.
But it is you're playing space trackers on a supply run to a distant mining colony on a frozen moon, and of course things don't go exactly as planned. Of course, since this is Alien, that's basically it. The miniature set that we're doing is also designed to work with Rapture Protocol. So you'll actually have miniatures for the pre-generated characters, for the main NPCs, and also other things that you might encounter. So that there are sort of the miniatures are designed to go together with the adventure.
That sounds great.
You've updated the lore as well, right, to include content from
Romulus.
Romulus, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, generally the lore of the core book is 90% the same because that was great and that we didn't feel the need to change that. But the small additions that we have done are to add things from Alien Romulus because we really enjoyed the film and we felt it makes a lot of sense. We're doing a new edition to include that. So there's a text and a map and art from Jackson Star, which is the mining. The larger colony that is featured in the film, that's where the film starts and the main characters are from. So that is now like written described, like you can play, use it as a campaign location. There's like adventure hooks and things, so you can basically start an adventure there. And then also adding some gear, like mainly it's the Corbellan ship, the ship that they use. We have some great art of that done by John R. Mulaney, who did the ship art in the core book, the previous one as well. So he's added this one. And he does a lot of research so he talked to the miniatures, the guys who actually designed the ship for the film. He wasn't talking to them, getting all of the photos and things. So get all the details right. And he also did art, and we wrote stats for the new pulse rifle. There was a new, or old rather, or a different version of the pulse rifle that is featured in the film. So we're adding that to the game also.
Mm, cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. So I hate to end on kind of a touchy note, but us being in the U.S., it's been a, kind of a tricky time, especially hearing like throughout the TTRPG industry, there's a lot of publishing that kind of goes on, at least printing that goes on outside of the U.S., and and there's a little bit of chaos right now with these new tariffs. So how's that how's it affecting Alien One? But just long term, if this continues on for extended period, how's this going to affect Free League in general with dealing with their American customers?
Yeah, no, it's hard to say long term. I think for anyone right now, it's difficult to know. Short term, it won't have a huge impact on. I mean, on this of course, this Kickstarter for Alien won't really be affected for at least not for the backers. I mean, the Kickstarter is already running. We're not changing anything. We couldn't, even if we wanted to, change any prices or anything. And I think it's important to know also that since we have local fulfillment, that means we ship from the factory where things are printed into a warehouse in a number of locations, which is one of them is the U.S. I think we have a warehouse in Michigan. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Michigan. And then we have one in the UK, one in the EU, one in Australia, and one in Canada. And that means, and then we ship to backers from those warehouses. And that means that if you're a backer in one of those areas, you won't pay any tariffs or anything because your things are already in the country. So okay. Just that might be good for backers to know. We got some questions about this, but so it's not the case that a backer will be paying these tariffs. That's not going to happen. Since we have local fulfillment in the US. So, but what will happen is that when we import things to the US, we will need to pay these tariffs. I guess at least we'll have to. I mean, unless they remove them, you know, before it's right. time for fulfillment, which we don't know. But if things stay the way they are now, we will need to pay these tariffs when we import the games to the US. And that will affect us and Free League financially, obviously.
Yeah, but, profit. Yeah,
it's hard to say exactly how much, but I mean, I think we have at least at the moment margin. I mean, we should be able to absorb that blow for now, but it's hard to say what it will mean in the long term. That's more of a different conversation, and that's a bit difficult to say right now. So. So that is sort of in the long term, it's very open right now, very hard to say. But in the short term, and for the Alien Kickstarter, it shouldn't really make any have any impact for backers.
So footstomp, go out and kickstart now. Go kickstart all you can now.
Yeah,
well, it's still, you know, really like it feels bad because. I mean, I feel like the publishing industry as a whole, it already runs on pretty thin margins. And, you know, of course, we're not the only customers out there,
it's a big, I mean, the U.S. is definitely a big market for us and many tabletop companies, even, you know, based outside of the U.S. So it definitely makes a big difference for us and other publishers. So, and also for a lot of American publishers also, because most of they rarely, I mean, most of, especially like boxed sets and things are generally not printed in the U.S. So they are in the same boat as us.
And you can't like start up a publishing company and factory overnight. So it's
exactly. I mean, maybe that long term that could happen, but it's, you can't do that overnight. Yeah. I mean, that's a long process to start up something and get, you know, so that we'll see what happens down the line, but it's hard to just switch over overnight.
Well, on that sunny note, I always enjoy having you on, and I like having like these frank discussions, and we all just love playing these games that bring us together as either as friends or even strangers that to get together and have fun together and tell these stories. So in that, you know, just you being a Swedish company, I kind of found out about you randomly, and now it's really you know, many hours of my week are dedicated around stuff involving you know, your company and other games as well. But it's it feels like a smallish community.
It is, yeah.
So I hate to see any other part of this community, suffer or just being just. I'm hoping this is a speed bump, but we'll see what happens. But
anything that we forgot? Any final thoughts? Any of the other things that are in the works? Kicking around in the back room? We
covered a lot of things. I think the only thing maybe that we didn't mention is that we're announced, which I'm looking forward to, a game based on the Invincible comic.
That's right.
Is cool. That's a lot of fun because when I started playing tabletop RPGs like way back, I was a big superhero fan, a big Marvel fan for the comics. So Marvel Superheroes was one of my very first RPGs, so doing a superhero game, that's a lot of fun, I think. So that's I'm looking forward to that one. That's probably going to be a couple of months out before we announce a lot more. But yeah, sometime early fall or something, there should be more about that.
September.
It's all in September.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Thomas. Thanks, Matt, for getting up early with me to do this. And we look forward to hearing more about what you guys are doing and wrapping up this Kickstarter. So if you haven't checked it out, I'll include links to the different Kickstarters we talked about and FreeLeaks page, and go check them out. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.